Our scripture. We have scripture this morning that is in your bulletins, and it's part of the Easter accounts. And we have passages that are interspersed between the Gospel of Mark and John, and Mark and John are talking about the same events, but they're telling slightly different parts. And so when you put them together as we have here, you get a more complete picture. And so here are the accounts from Mark and John together. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them, who were followers but not disciples, as they were walking into the country. And they, those two, went back and they told the rest. But they did not believe them. Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples themselves as they sat at table. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, that was Easter, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." And they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it. This is the word of our Lord. May God bless our understanding and our embodiment of this word of abundant life. Amen. There is Easter presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. And there's Easter absence, the time before the resurrection. And then there's also something that I would call Easter taking for granted. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that just taking Easter for granted because it's all we know. It's normal for us. We don't know anything else other than the presence of Easter and its impact. And sometimes we're not even aware of what that impact is in its subtle ways. And I highlight Easter absence and presence because when you read or listen to the accounts of Easter from all four Gospels, the thing that becomes abundantly clear is the dramatic 180-degree shift of the emotional state and the behavior of all of Jesus' followers that occurs between the time after his death but before his resurrection. And that difference between the absence and the presence of the resurrection is like night and day. or like life without a resurrection and life with one. Where after his death, but before the resurrection, there was a very, very understandable and universal sadness, lethargy, depression, weeping, withdrawn behavior, pulled back for fear of their own lives, hiding behind closed doors, a sense of dejection, defeat, giving up the faith. But then you read and you hear that once every single person encountered and experienced the resurrected Christ, there was this universal sense of elation and renewed belief, and it was like flipping a light switch. It was off and then it was on. And they went from fear to embodying incredible courage and power and purpose, which they lived throughout their lives from that time on with incredibly bold and effective and faithful action. After his death, it was the end. It was just all done. He had died. He lost. He lost to the powers of the world. And they lost as disciples and followers. And so they were lost. There was no energy, there was no power, there was no hope, there was no confidence. There was no real purpose to continue, much less spread what we know has become Christianity. And because of this dramatic difference between before and after, the question for us this morning is, what would it be like if Easter never happened? All that we know and all that we call normal is just knowing Easter that did happen. But what if Easter didn't happen? Normal what we know. Just like it's normal, and all that we know is that it's 2021. But what if when he died, that was the end of it? He just died. Life over, energy over, spirit gone. Time to move on to other things. Well, the answer to what if Easter never happened is actually something that we do know. We don't have to imagine it because we know exactly what happened after he died and before the resurrection. That's in our scriptures. And what happened at that time was nothing. Every scripture passage talks about this period after death and before his resurrection, and it paints a very vivid picture of what happened before that dramatic jolt of change gave them new life. And what happened before that was nothing. Not exactly pure nothing. There were tears. There was fear. There was lack of courage. There was lack of belief. There was inaction, inertia, giving up the faith, wind out of their sails. And you know, that inertia actually makes perfect sense. because that's what we as human beings do in grief. If you go to the NASA website, this is a turn. You go to the NASA website, and there's a description of Newton's law of motion, known as Newton's first law. It's also known as the law of inertia. And it says this. It says, every object, and I would say including people, every object will remain at rest unless compelled to change its state by the action of an external force outside of itself. So it makes perfect sense that without a resurrection, there would be no action of an external force outside of itself because there was none. So his followers would remain at rest. Life would have merely gone on, continuing with exactly what was happening before Easter morning, which was that his followers were withdrawn, afraid, defeated, overcome with grief, hiding, lacking courage and power, and that is what would have remained. With nothing to shake them, with nothing to move them, with nothing to pry them and launch them as they were launched back into the world to start doing extraordinarily bold, courageous things. Outrageously going to spread the gospel, just as he told them, throughout the world, everywhere. And that is what we know is normal. That's just what we accept, as this is the way it is. So without that force of Easter, of resurrection, in addition to no power to go forward, there would have been absolutely no reason to go to your own brutal death because you're proclaiming the risen Christ if that's not what happened. Which is exactly what happened to 10 out of the 11 disciples, one by one being executed themselves because they went out again and again proclaiming the crucified and risen Christ, and they wouldn't stop, even though they could have opted out at any point along the way, but not one did. They just kept proclaiming the risen Christ. So without Easter, their defeat would have remained. And instead of us knowing what we know, instead of us experiencing what we call normal and just, this is the way that it is, that absence of where they were before the resurrection, that's what we would know and call as normal. And that's the part of Easter taking it for granted. There certainly would not have been the power within those disciples to go on and to carry through Christianity with all of the followers for the first 325 years where Christianity was illegal, and just to be a Christian, you would get killed for it. That takes power. That takes courage. Without that, it dies. You no longer have Christianity. And so without that, for the last 2,000 years, if somebody ever would have, for some bizarre reason, mentioned Christianity, which there wouldn't have been any, we would have just said, I have no idea what you're talking about. What's a Jesus? No reference point. So if Easter didn't happen, it wouldn't just affect the disciples and it wouldn't just affect us, but so many other things that we take for granted as being normal would be absent. For one thing, we wouldn't be living in 2021 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Maybe we would be living in what is the Chinese year of 4719. That's what year it is. Or maybe we would refer to this as the year 5781, the Jewish year. But then again, maybe not, because maybe all the Jewish people would have been wiped out in World War II. Because with no United States of America or Allied England as we know it, with our value systems as we know it, as normal, there might not have been anyone to fight off the Nazis. I say the United States of America as we know it because our country as we know it was founded specifically on Christian principles. Our Declaration of Independence was written and signed almost completely by Congregational, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, a couple of Roman Catholics, and a few Quaker Christians, with the principles of Christ embedded into their lives, talking about human beings created equal by God, with inalienable rights, deeply embedded Christian understandings that they embedded into the fabric of our country, into our laws, into our morals, into our values, into our ethics. Values and ethics and principles that are not universal. The understanding that we are, in fact, our brother's keeper, that comes from Christ. To love our neighbor as we understand that, that specifically comes from Christ. It's also Jewish, but Jesus gave that a very new and different understanding through the parable of the Good Samaritan, noting that our neighbor includes every person, not just those of our own religion, but of every religion, every race. The Samaritan was of a different race and religion, of every sex, economic status, equal opportunity, not just for the select few, which is why we don't have the caste system. Things we would have never known without the resurrection. Helping the oppressed, that's Christ. Be ye kind, that's Christ. These are the very things that got him killed. They were so abrasive, they were so radical, these understandings, that the people couldn't take it, so they killed him for what we call normal. If they were universal, they would be universal. But we go around the world and we see that they're not. We realize how ununiversal they are when we don't see this in the world, when we don't experience the same understanding of human rights. We're shocked. How can they do this? How can they think this? We assume that everybody thinks this way, don't they? And that's the taking for granted of Easter. So much of what we think of as normal, life as we know it, we might not realize where these understandings come from. But not every country was created based on his principles and ethics. And so we notice the different understandings and practices of human rights, for one thing, around the world in so many, many gigantic countries that have different value systems and ways of understanding and treating human beings. Countries that were not founded on the principles of Christ. And so we go back to the question of what if Easter never happened? The world, our country, our lives would be vastly different, including a multitude of other powerful influences and institutions that we take for granted as just being there as normal, the fabric of our society, educational and social justice organizations that only exist because they were started by Christian organizations, including our very own local Operation Hope, Mercy Learning Center, Bridgeport Rescue Mission, Pivot Ministries, Inner City Catholic Schools, Shepherd's Mentoring Program, universities like Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, started by the Congregational Church, and loads of others started by all sorts of other Christian churches, Notre Dame, Pepperdine, Baylor, Wesleyan, Trinity, SMU, Fairfield U, Sacred Heart, hundreds more. No Easter, no energy for Christianity to move forward, and when it was dead, it would have been dead. But you know what? Here we are, and here is the great news, which is all these things do exist. And we do love our neighbor the way that we do, because Easter did happen. And so that, thankfully, is our normal. And so for this and for so much more, on this Easter day, we can say, thank you, God, and happy Easter. And it's so good to be together and have the opportunity to carry your message and your love forward. Hallelujah. Because he does live and still empowers and inspires and uplifts and informs to this day and forevermore. So may we savor this beautiful Easter day. May we savor our beautiful Easter life. Amen.
In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, God, we sing Alleluia with the fullness of our hearts. Christ is risen. Love is stronger than death. And so we come before you, God, humbled by this eternal and never-ending love you have for us and for the gift of Christ's resurrection. And isn't it ironic, God, that around the world, some of our sanctuaries, like the tomb, are empty? And yet, Easter came anyway. And many of us are still gathering like the early Christians would in our own homes with our families to listen to your story of life and death and life eternal. And then we are gathered here, God, back in your sanctuary, in your place of love and safety, and we give you thanks for that. And no matter where we are coming from, God, we are bound by our love for you and for all you have done for us. Because God, when you created this world, in that moment you created all that was, all that is, and all that ever will be. And you created it all out of great love. You, in fact, loved this world into being. You created humankind in your own image. In that image of love, you created us, and all you ask of us is to love you and one another in the same way. But how hard that is for us, God. Sometimes it's just a lot for us to bear. When family members hurt our feelings, or when friends betray us, like Jesus' disciples did, or when the media makes us fearful of our world. Our days become filled with messages of doom and fear. We complain about our families far more than we recognize ourselves as part of a global family that needs healing and love. Sometimes we bend and break, as the disciples did, under the pressures of betrayal by friends without remembering that you will never betray us. Like the people in the times of Jesus, we lament politicians and their messages and actions far more than we lament the social injustices that occur around our world every second of every day. And we are sad to admit, God, that sometimes we watch the news and read breaking news stories each day far more often than we read your word of hope and faith and love. And so, God, in the light of the good news of the resurrection on this beautiful Easter day, we renew our commitment to you. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, we realize the depth and breadth of what it means to be your Easter people. As your Easter people, we are the ones who are called to go into the places in our lives and our world and to work for justice for all of your creation. And so remind us, God, as we go out into the world today, that as your Easter people, we represent you in every word we speak, in every action that we take, in every breath that we breathe. So help us to begin a practice today of turning to you each morning from now on at the break of day and giving you thanks for another day, to ask for guidance in the decisions that we'll have to make, to thank you for the opportunities to help others that will come in our path, and to ask forgiveness for the mistakes that we may make. And through this practice, God, we will be filled with your love so that we may radiate your devotion to this world. All this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again, so that we may all find eternal peace and rest in love with you, in your world, which has no end. Amen.